Hey guys, welcome to the Gold Members Podcast. This is volume number 31. Today I want to talk a little bit about self-defense and the psychology that goes behind it. And no, this is not just a plug for the book, which as of this recording is the next one that's on my plate to get released. But to me, whether you read that book or you read something else about it, to me it's an extremely important thing to talk about. I think it was in the 90s. I can't remember. It might have been the early 2000s. This trend developed in the martial arts industry of adrenaline stress training. And, of course, they did it all wrong. They would put a guy in body armor, made him look like a Michelin man. And he would come running into the room against an isolated student, verbally assaulting them and then attacking them and all of this type of stuff. And a lot of the martial arts students froze when this happened. And it was an absolutely epic fail. Now, why do I say that? I recall specifically this one woman who was a second degree black belt in Korean art, probably Taekwondo, judging by her uniform. She had never, had any problems on the street before in her life. And she was quite talented. She froze, and then she cried, and then she quit. Congratulations to an instructor who wins Douchebag of the Year. If someone had half a brain, they'd realize there's a problem with that scenario. And the problem is you have somebody who trains for X amount of time, and then you're going to do their very best to tear them down and show them they don't know anything. And all you do by doing that is creating hopelessness. Now, there, unfortunately, are no requirements for people. No, there's no barriers of entry for the martial arts. I mean, there's an awful lot of instructors in the United States who actually aren't even martial artists. They just claim to be. Right? I know of one gentleman that I don't like very much, who made all sorts of high-ranking claims in Bruce Lee's art. What's that, Wing Chun? Bruce Lee never had an art. In fact, right? Because if you read Bruce Lee's own writings, he doesn't like styles, but yet there are styles for him. Right? But yet this guy, who is a tremendous high rank, can't be traced any further back than 1997. Well, pretty hard to study with Bruce Lee if you started your career in 1997. Right? But I kind of regress on this because it's just the way there is when there is no barrier to entry. Nor do I necessarily think there should be a barrier to entry, because people should be smart enough to do their own research. But anyways, proper way to do that, adrenaline stress training, is by escalation. You teach people the very basics first under no stress, and then as the belts go up, you increase the stress on them to perform until you get to a level where you could pull off that type of an attack on them. And then they would have the ability to test their skills, refine their skills, and do that. By proving to them that they can't do it, all you're doing is destroying them psychologically, and you are, because what will ever happen to this poor woman is she may end up developing agoraphobia or something and never want to go outside again. This guy did so much damage in doing it. So psychology, when it comes to self-defense, is something that every martial arts instructor does need to look into. Now, the book I am writing, or have written, again, depending on when you see this or hear this, I should say, is based on psycho-cybernetics, Dr. Maxwell Maltz's book. And if you're not interested in, in my martial arts specific writing on Maltz's work, then I would definitely suggest picking up a copy of Psycho-Cybernetics at a bookstore or online. However, but in all honesty, get both, because Psycho-cybernetics is something that needs to be in your library as a martial artist or as a martial arts teacher. It's an extremely important work. It was done in 1959, I believe it was, and it became almost an overnight bestseller. And it was written by somebody who understands it. In other words, he's not a psychologist. Now, what's interesting about this particular industry, and it's essentially looked at as a self-help industry, is the people who are the very best at helping people, guys like Tony Robbins, have no degrees. The most epic failures are the ones with the degrees. But guys like Tony Robbins are hated for the fact that they have done so well. But when you're writing about something like this, you need to write about it from experience and from what you've done to change the way you are to the way you need to be to accomplish the particular goals that you have. Anyways, that's it for volume 31 of our podcast. Hopefully I didn't ramble too much. We'll catch you guys next time. Have a good one. Ciao.